Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. Paul ends chapter 12 with, "Yet I show you a more excellent way." Now, the Corinthian church, well, they were big into the spirituals, into the gifts of the Spirit. And the Corinthians flourished in the gifts of the spirits, and in particular, the gift of tongues. Tongues is a gift that man initiates. Tongues can be a prayer language, praying to God in a spiritual way. And Paul said, "I speak in tongues with more than you all." So there is a place for tongues within a believer's life if the Lord gives you that gift. But the Corinthians looked upon tongues as a sign of spirituality. Now, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Tongues were not a sign of salvation, as some Pentecostal churches look upon tongues as being a sign of salvation. But tongues were looked upon as kind of a demonstration that you were spiritual. Tongues being a gift, it enables us to pray in the Spirit, to pray in a way that our mind doesn't necessarily connect with, but our body and our soul is speaking with God in a special way. So Paul begins chapter 13 with a description of several gifts of the Spirit. So let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." And Paul says here, even though I speak in tongues of angels or men, I am just sounding off if I don't have God's agape love. Communicate with God. Who's to say they don't? So tongues of angels could indicate a heavenly way of speaking to God as angels speak to God. And I believe this is what Paul is speaking of. By the gift of tongues, we can speak to God in a way that goes beyond our understanding, in a soulful manner, you might say. And it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of the Spirit. So don't downplay tongues. Many churches will, because they don't express the gift of tongues, will downplay the gift of tongues. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is a spiritual way to pray and speak to God. It is not to be a showtime or speaking of my gifting or bringing attention to ourselves. And tongues of men are to be upward praising God. For when a man interprets a tongue, they should be upward in the speaking to God. He speaks to God. "And although I speak to God in an angelic language and have not love," Paul says, "I'm a sounding brass cymbal. I'm a clanging cymbal, simply a loud noise." And although I have spiritual gifts, and he moves on, prophecies, words of knowledge, plus faith, and these are pronounced gifts, even the exercising of these gifts, and if I have faith that is so pronounced and so strong that I can remove mountains, though I could amaze others with this gift of faith, it's nothing if I don't have love. Love is the key foundation for a saint before other saints and before our Lord. Love is what we should be known for. The disciples in Matthew 17 come to Jesus, and they want to know why they could not cast out or heal a demon-possessed boy. And they say, hey, why couldn't we do this, Jesus? Why could we not cast out this demon? And Jesus speaks of great faith. He says, you need to have great faith. And he said, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That's a pretty wide open big statement. Jesus tells his disciples, nothing would be impossible for them if they had just a little faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Now, you cannot, and I've tried to do this, conjure up faith. You can't conjure up faith that will move mountains. It's got to be a gift of faith that is working in your life. And I've often wondered, could I handle that kind of faith? Probably not. You know, maybe for a little while, maybe. A church should not be forced to choose between a gift of the Spirit and love. Love should supersede. Agape love should be what we are known for, not miracles of the supernatural. Yet, TV ministers seem to draw much attention to the dramatic healings that are supposedly performed by them. They use the power of suggestion to slay people in the Spirit. Slay in the Spirit? We'll talk about that. I saw one TV preacher. He's tapping adults on the forehead, and they're going down. And then he picked up a little toddler. And I'm thinking, okay, this child does not know the routine. Let's see what happens to that child. Will this child go down in the Spirit, slaying of the Spirit? Nope. Child didn't go down. He just looks at the preacher. And he just observes him. And the question becomes, though, why should slaying of the Spirit be considered a spiritual gift? And yet these TV ministers act like it is. Can I mention to you Ananias and Sapphira? Slain, killed by the Spirit of God for lying to the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter, he slays them, but it's a fatal slaying. And it was never used as a dog and pony show. And Paul will describe agape love now in verses 3 through 13. So let's read this passage, and we will touch on many of the things here. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, it's kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, nor does seek its own. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. And whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And what Paul is speaking about here is agape love. An agape love is a demonstration when there's no thought of myself whatsoever. It can't be, will this cost me money? Will it cost me time if I do this? No, agape love is directly for others. We can see needs and bypass needs simply because it would take time for us to meet that need. Our busy schedules can keep us from doing good works or showing agape love. We have a great need around us throughout the world, and there are many Feed the People programs. And here in America, we like to feed our children through school programs and so forth. And that's a worthy cause. But we can see extreme cases of people burning them. So it says, though I give my body to burn. In the Vietnam War, there were Buddhist monks who would set themselves on fire in a greatest of protest. But if you even set yourself on fire, burn your body, and you do not have love, it profits nothing. Let's bring that to America. Warren Buffett, the stock market guru, he should read this verse. Because Warren Buffett equates his philanthropy, I hope I said that right, his charity as a way to gain heaven. He believes by giving away his money and wealth, he achieves heaven. But Paul, he tells us what agape love is not. He says, love will suffer long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not done to be seen. And true agape love does not behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own or think in a puffed up way. Love does not draw attention to self. Think about some of Jesus' healings. He would take a blind man or a deaf man and he would take them aside privately to deal with them and to heal them. He didn't do it for show. True love does not rejoice in wicked or sinful activities, but rejoices in the truth. Love will endure heartaches. Love hopes for the better. Love looks for that silver lining in storm clouds. Recently, many of you know this, Lori's cousin suffered a tragic motorcycle accident. She was injured, but her husband was killed instantly. And now she has undergone several operations, a hip replacement, fractures, casts on her right side that was hit. And she has many body aches and pains. And she's about 60 years old that will never go away. They will follow her the rest of her life. But she also has to deal with the tragic loss of her husband. And her physical suffering is great, and she's on pain meds constantly. And now she went back home, living in a house that they were having built that her husband never lived in. Now she lives in a house that they had planned together by herself. Well, her daughter's going to live with her. Yet she texts out upbeat messages, and her message are full of hope because she's a fine Christian lady. Now, Lori and I plan on a trip back to Washington soon, and we will see this home that we were to stay in for the reunion that was called off because of the accident. But the entire family of Susie is seeing a positive Christian attitude come forth in the direst of ways. And we see her life being tested to the max. And we don't understand. This is her second loss of a husband. Her first husband died about 10 years ago of cancer. And she says she kind of had a time to prepare for that. But Marty, her present husband, was killed instantly. And so she's being called on to suffer great loss. But you know, Paul said, true agape love never fails. We will have words of prophecy and they will fail. Tongues, they will cease one day and knowledge will vanish, but that will be at the end of the age, i.e. rapture. And we are left to consider how agape love never fails. We have thoughts and feelings during our time here on earth. We have images and we see dimly in a mirror now. But you know, we cannot prepare ourselves for tragic events or pitfalls, speed bumps that will come our way. You can't prepare for them. They just come upon you suddenly. And we must simply show love through them. We never know when we'll be called upon to show God's agape love. This chapter openly tells us to love one another and love our Lord in a non-selfish way. But we need God's gift of love to do that. It is not an easy thing to do, to love like we have been loved by our Lord. You can't conjure that up. That's got to be a spiritual gift of love. And yet we're all given that gift of love to manifest it as the body of Christ, to be known for our love for one another. That's how we're to be known. We are to manifest faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Jesus told us what true agape love is. It's to lay down your life for a friend. There it is. Instead of finding fault or being critical of one another, we're to lay down our life for one another. And the greatest love verse is John 3:16, a verse we're all familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gift. Receive that love, live out that love, and be known for your agape love. But that's from the Lord, so seek it from the Lord. Let me get you to stand, and we'll close in prayer. Father God, we want to love, we can read about love, we can talk about love, but do we love? Do we consider self first? Do we consider our time? Do we consider our cost of loving someone or helping someone when simply called upon? Lord, help us to ignore ourselves. Help us to see you, Jesus, and the love that you showed for us, your body. You laid down your life that we could have life. So, Lord, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves and upon you, and let us love in a way that brings you glory. Lord, we want you to be pleased with us, and we must love one another as your body, as your church, to be pleasing to you. So help us, Lord. We need to love the way you love. And we can't do that in and of ourselves. So we pray, pour out a gift of love upon us, Lord, and help us to be loving. Just be known for our love for one another. And we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.